Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church, Warrensburg, Missouri, where it is our goal to bring people to a genuine and growing relationship with Jesus Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this podcast will be a blessing and encouragement to you.
They told me after the first service that the college students wouldn't know who that song is by, but I'm gonna assume that you guys had good parents. It seems pretty simple, right? That all you need is love. All you need to show is love. All you need to do is love. And so if we just would all focus on love in this country, well, then we'd be good to go. Except what does that actually mean, right? Like, because how I seek to show love, what I think that means may be different than how you receive love or what you think it means. I have learned this so much in marriage. That the things that I think are acts of love, what I think is a show of affection, is not always what resonates with my wife. And so the fact is, if we are made, if we are called to love, well, then what is the right and proper way for us to express that? Because you and me, we are really good at self-delusion. We're really good at convincing ourselves that we're good to go, that we're doing everything that we should be doing. And so we need to stop sometimes and ask, are we really? Right? I mean, that's the issue with this expert in the law who comes to Jesus, right? He comes intending to expose him or to trip him up. Verse 29 tells us that he comes specifically to justify himself, to confirm in his mind that he, this expert in the law, is doing everything that he's supposed to be doing. He thinks he loves God rightly, thinks he loves his neighbor rightly, and so he's really just trying to prove that. He really doesn't need Jesus. He's got it all under control. But with this parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus shows him and shows us that his definition of love and neighbor is entirely too narrow. And so this morning, we're continuing our six-week series on the vision and the mission of FBC. And what we've been trying to do as we begin this new year is really just refocus ourselves individually and as a congregation on that which Jesus has explicitly called us to be about. Right? There's a lot of talk right now in our country and even in the church about the need to unify. We need unity. We need to come together. But friends, the only way that that can happen in the church is when we're all clear on why we're here. The purpose for which we exist. And so we've been talking about it, and not just in theory, but specifically, practically, what does it look like to be a church that partners as a family in the Holy Spirit to make disciples of Jesus Christ who make disciples? And so we began 2 weeks ago with our first pillar of the church, gospel communities. And we did this intentionally because ministries and programs can only do so much. If you have grown up in the church, you know that programs just by themselves rarely produce disciples who make disciples. And so that's why we believe in gospel communities so much here. It's because they focus on just the simple routine of pursuing Jesus together with fellow believers in a way that is lived out in front of a watching world. And so everything that we talk about in the other four pillars of FBC should be happening already within gospel communities themselves. Particularly this morning, as we talk about mercy and justice, hopefully you remember that one of the key routines of gospel community is the act of love, where you as a gospel community are finding ways to actively love and serve your neighbors around you. And so we need to understand that that is a part of mercy ministry. And so I'm not going to hash all of that out this morning. There are going to be some basic acts of mercy and justice that should just be present in your lives as Christ's followers and thus in your gospel communities as well. And so I'm not going to get all into that because I'm going to trust this morning that you can put two and two together. And the same thing was true of family ministry. An intrinsic part of teaching our children to observe all that Jesus commanded includes the parts where he talks about loving one another, providing for the needy, caring for the sick. These are all things, parents, that we should be teaching our children to observe in their lives. And so a considerable part of mercy and justice ministry should be happening in our households. And so again, I won't rehash all of that. I'm going to trust that this morning you'll come to an understanding of what mercy and justice is scripturally, and then you'll be able to apply that into your gospel communities and households. What I'm going to focus on today is really the big picture ways that we as a family of faith seek to show mercy and promote justice in our mission field. My prayer is that this will help you see the importance of mercy and justice ministries to the mission of God. And it will provoke you to ask questions and explore ways that you can get engaged. Scripture teaches us that showing mercy to others and pursuing justice in our society serves as an integral part of fulfilling the mission of the church. And so first, let's just briefly define our terms this morning. Because if there's anything I learned in 2020, it was that anytime I brought up social justice or I brought up ethnicity, we were all coming to these topics with different definitions, different emotions, different feelings, different presuppositions. And so I just want to make clear from the get-go what we're talking about and what we're not talking about. Right, first, just returning to the text that Joanne read earlier, we see Jesus define mercy in terms of neighbor love. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The one who showed mercy to him, he said. This word translated as mercy, it's the Greek word elos. Interestingly, it's the same word used in the Greek versions of the Old Testament for the Hebrew word hesed, God's faithfulness to his covenant. In other words, the term mercy in the New Testament carries the connotation of loyalty to God's covenant. And so don't miss that. That's the foundation. That's the root. If we don't get this, we'll miss out on everything else. Mercy and compassion toward others comes from a love and loyalty to God. Right? Mercy and compassion toward one another comes from a love and loyalty to God. And so what does that look like? How does it manifest itself? Well, with everything we see the Good Samaritan do. Right? He inconveniences himself for someone else. He incurs financial costs for someone else. He emotionally invests in the situation of someone else. And oh yeah, that someone else was someone who didn't like him because of his ethnicity. Right? Let's not forget the fact that Jews didn't like Samaritans. And the feeling was mutual. And so what Jesus is telling this expert in the law, what he's telling us, is that mercy doesn't demonstrate itself to just those who we like, or just to those who look like us, or share the same political affiliation as us. No, Jesus is telling us that mercy transcends ethnic boundaries. It transcends social boundaries. It transcends economic boundaries. And so in sum, we might briefly define mercy as to feel and express compassion in tangible form to anyone in need out of love and faith in the God of the Bible. Now, what about justice? Because there's a touchy subject to people these days. In the New Testament, the word translated as justice is the Greek word dikaiosune. It means simply that which God defines as right and true. Dikaiosune is a judicial statement. It's one in which the holy and perfect God of heaven and earth looks at something or someone and declares whether or not that thing or that person is right and true. Now, often when we talk about dikaiosune, we tend to think in terms of just personal salvation. Right? That moment when a holy and just God looks at the sinner who is clothed in the righteousness of Jesus by faith, and that God declares that person to be dikaiosune, to be righteous, to be just, by virtue of their union with Christ. And that's true. That is what dikaiosune means. But that's not all that dikaiosune entails. Because it's not just the soul that God cares about, but rather the person's complete well-being. God cares about the right and fair treatment of human beings by other human beings. He cares about the right and fair treatment of human beings by societal systems. And so maybe we could sum it up best with a verse that we read this past autumn in the book of the 12, Micah 6:8. Mankind, he has told each of you what is good and what it is the Lord requires of you. To act justly, to love faithfulness, and to walk humbly with your God. To act justly, mishpat in Hebrew. Again, it's a judicial statement, a declaration of that which is right and true. Meaning, to love God entails loving and pursuing what is right in the world. to love faithfulness, to love mercy. Again, that rich Hebrew word, hesed. Right? The point is that we are to discern what God desires for His world, and then we are to prioritize that out of a love for Him. Right? We discern what God desires for this world, and then we prioritize that out of a love for Him. Which means that whenever we see human suffering on a personal level, on a systemic level, we are to do something about it. This is how Micah describes it. He says, "As for me, however, I am filled with power by the Spirit of the Lord, with justice and courage to proclaim to Jacob his rebellion and to Israel his sin." Right? Don't miss this association. That the pursuit of justice, the verbal condemnation of systemic evil, is a sign of a Spirit-indwelled believer. And so if we are not pursuing justice, if we are not verbally condemning systemic evil, then we have question to ask whether or not we really are filled with the Spirit and indwelled by Him. And so that's just very briefly a theology of mercy and justice. I think the real question I'm sure we're all wanting to ask this morning, though, is, okay, what does that look like for you and me? What does that look like at FBC? What does that look like in Warrensburg? And so again, let me emphasize that these principles should be incorporated into your gospel communities. And they should be incorporated into your households, whatever your household looks like. But we also realize this morning that the pursuit of justice, the pursuit of mercy, that it is bigger than what any one of us could accomplish by ourselves. It's just like church planting. We are able to accomplish more when we work cooperatively together. And so at FBC, first, we seek to pursue economic mercy as a church. In plain terms, this is what we often refer to as our benevolence ministry. This is the heart of our deacon ministry. Right? You remember, deacons are formed in Acts 6 to care for those who were in need but being neglected. But Acts 6 shows us that the ministry of the diaconate is more than just charity. That their mercy ministry is rooted in justice. Because maybe you remember that it was the Greek widows, the Greek orphans, right? The non-Jewish widows and orphans who were being neglected in the early church. Right? Think about this. This problem with race is not new. At the very beginning of the church was dealing with racial discrimination and injustice. And so it was the job of the deacons to meet those physical needs, to pursue mercy and justice, and it remains the job of the deacon. And so at FBC, what that looks like is that every partner, right, that which we were calling members, but now we got cute, now we're calling them partners, every partner here at FBC is assigned a deacon. And that deacon is there to occasionally call, send you a note, check in on you. But really, they're there for you to reach out when you're in need. You know, maybe it's, hey, we've got all these unexpected bills right now, and we're really struggling to keep our heads above water. Is there anything the church can do to help? Or listen, we've had this sickness come up in our family, or this need, or even just, I've got this leaky faucet, and I'm not handy. Is there anything that the church can do to help? And so our deacons are there for our partners in those time of needs. But our deacons also oversee our financial benevolence ministry that takes place on Tuesdays and Thursday mornings. And this financial benevolence ministry, it's not just for partners of FBC, but for anyone in our community. Right? Our deacons manage church funds to do things like help pay electric bills, buy groceries, cover gas, other pressing needs. And so what we do as a church is every month that has a fifth Sunday, we take a benevolence offering at the very end of service, and then our deacons oversee the distribution of that. Oh yeah, by the way, next week is a fifth Sunday, and so at the end of service, we'll do just that. We'll collect benevolence funds, and then our deacons will oversee their distribution. Additionally, we partner as a church locally with the Warrensburg Food Center, and we're also, as a church, a member of the Jeremiah 29:11 network. And in case you're not familiar with either of those, the food center is just that. It's an integral part of our community in providing food to those in need. But the Jeremiah 29:11 network helps to provide goods like furniture, kitchen supplies, those kind of things that maybe are broken or in a house fire were damaged. And so both of those services are available to partners of FPC as well as the community overall. And more information of how to access those things can be found through our deacons on the website, as well as through our church office. But let's say you're not a deacon. Let's say you have no interest in being a deacon, but you still think that this benevolence ministry is important. There's always need for volunteers to help. And so hopefully as you came in this morning, you picked up a little half sheet that said next steps on it. And that's just our way this morning that if, as we're talking about these ministries, there's something that resonates with you, for you to be able to put down your contact information to express your interest. You can drop it in the offering plate when you leave later. You can drop it off at the welcome desk. And it's our way to get you more information about how to get plugged in. If you didn't pick up one of those sheets, they'll be at the tables when you leave. They'll also be at the north end of the lobby. And so a benevolence ministry is something that really resonates with you. I hope you'll make that contact there and get engaged. Second, at FBC, we seek to pursue recovery mercy as a church. It is no secret in our community, in our state, in our nation, that we continue to battle a drug pandemic, whether it be opioid addiction, marijuana, alcohol addiction, or in our own community, methamphetamines. And so to combat these crippling diseases, FBC is committed to providing and to supporting pathways to recovery. At the church here, we host Celebrate Recovery on Tuesday nights. Moreover, we support and we partner with the Recovery Lighthouse here in town as well as Lime Tree. And you might be saying, hey, that's great. I'm glad we do stuff like that, but I'm not a professional counselor. Yeah, I'm not a trained specialist. I don't know what I could really do to help support that. The good news is that you don't have to be those things to still support those who are in the process of recovery. And so rather than me just tell you about CR or tell you about the Lighthouse or Lime Tree, I've invited one of our good friends, Tia Kolb, to come this morning and to share with you about these ministries and what that might look like for you here at FBC. And so would you guys welcome Tia.
Good morning, everybody. I had the chance to share with the first service as well, and so I have a story for you here in just a moment that goes right along with what we're talking about today. A little bit about me. I didn't personally struggle with alcohol or drug addiction, but I had family members that did. And if you are a family member or somebody that loves somebody that struggles from addiction, you're touched every single day. Whether you're worrying about whether they're going to come home at night or they've borrowed your car and it's been a couple days since you've seen it come back. If they're on Johnson County roster, whatever it is, those people are close to your heart and you're wondering what you can do. So I had a great opportunity to partner with the Recovery Lighthouse, and what we do is we work with folks that are struggling with substance use disorder, but most of the time what we find out is they're also struggling with life in general. So you don't have to be a professional counselor. You don't have to be a peer. Sometimes they just need somebody that notices them and reaches out to them. We have the opportunity in our community to have, under the umbrella of Recovery Lighthouse, Lime Tree, which is very close to my heart because I live in. I'm the live-in house manager, and it's for women that struggle with substance use disorder. Most of the ladies that come from us come with us anyway, are maybe just getting out of jail, prison. They've lost their kids. They've been homeless. They have maybe just the clothes that are on their back. And they come to us, and we love on them, and we show them a different way of life. They're able to stay with us as long as they are working on their recovery, they're getting better, they're doing the things that they need to do to become productive members of society. Like I said, my 13-year-old lives in a sober living house, and I do get some strange looks about that sometimes. But I feel like this is the best education that I will ever be able to give her when it comes to life, and that sometimes it's not always the same for every person that's out there. She has had the opportunity to talk with people even her age, because many of the folks that we work with started in drug and alcohol very early. So 13, though you may think that is early, I've met with clients that started at 6 or 8 years old. So she has that background to say, look, this is not the path you want to go. There's people out there that'll help you. There's people out there that are going to listen to you. So I get to see the miracles that happen. Yeah, there's some heartbreak that goes with it, but I do get to see the miracles when kids get reunited with their moms or the ladies get jobs for the first time and they have insurance. I can't tell you how many insurance questions that I've had, because they've never got to experience that in their lives. So when it comes to the church and Celebrate Recovery, that is a group that meets here on Tuesday nights, and it's about hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And I don't know anybody that doesn't have a hurt, habit, or hang-up. So with that, we are able, with the grace of God and the church partnering with us, to offer a meal. And I will tell you that there's some folks in our community that will just come for the meal. But we got them in the door. And now they know our name. And now they know that it's okay to come to FBC. There was a period of time with COVID that we weren't able to do in-person meetings. And I really saw how this affected our community, because when I would see these folks out in just day-to-day Walmart, whatever, Miss Tia, when are we going to do CR again? Because it was important to them. Even if they maybe never stayed for a meeting the whole way through, they missed that being able to connect. And that's what life's all about, is to have those connections, to have those people that you can talk to, the people that if you miss the meeting are going to say, hey, I haven't seen you. When are you coming back? And I started to see those folks on a Johnson County roster and at the jail. And that really touched my heart, because they had reached out, when can we come back, when can we come back? So when Jeff contacted me and he said, when are you going to be ready to come back in person? I'm like, next Tuesday. Let's do next Tuesday, because it does make a difference. And when they come to church and they come into this building, they don't always have a strong or any relationship with God. They may not have been brought up in a house that even attended church or even talked about God or the grace of God. So even when they walk in here, even if you don't feel like you can be a peer or anything like that, you can smile. You can shake their hand. You can welcome them, because that's really important that folks get noticed. So do I have time for my story? Okay. So this morning I was driving here to church, and anybody that knows me well, I fill my schedule like every minute to the minute. And I always, by the grace of God, try to get here on time. It may be a minute before, but for me that's on time. And I was driving here this morning, and it was raining, and it was really gray outside, and there was a gentleman that was standing in the middle of the road on South Holden. And I see all these cars just going around him and going around him. Yeah, they noticed that he was there, but they just kept on going. And he was not moving an inch. So I pulled up next to him, and I said, sir, can I help you? And he never made eye contact. I never saw him blink. So I was like, I cannot leave him out here in the rain, because what is a better way to tell somebody that you're in trouble and you need help? You're standing out in the middle of a busy busy street in the rain. So I got a hold of the police, and I turned around, and they were like, please, because I'm like, I'm a counselor. And they said, please stay in your truck, but because I have bad habits about that. But I stayed in my truck, and I waited for the officer to get there, and he was an officer that I had dealt with in the past, and I knew that he had it's CIT training, so he knows how to deal with people that are suffering from mental illness or are suffering from drug addiction. So I knew he had it under control, and so I was able to get here. But I don't know who he is, but he's our family, because we all live here together. We're one big community. And if we're seeing people and we're just driving by, even if you can't help them, there's people out there that you know can, even if it's the police, call them. Get some help for those folks. We can't keep ignoring people that aren't doing well in life, because somewhere down the road that is going to affect us. Whether it's that gentleman jumps out in front of your car, heaven forbid that happened, but we don't know. So when we see things, that's our opportunity to really step up and do the next right thing and do God's work. He gives you opportunities every single day. Don't walk away from them. Thank you.
Thanks, Dee.
When Tia told that story at the first service, I just couldn't help looking back at Luke 10. I mean, didn't we not just read that parable of the people on their way to church who couldn't slow down, couldn't stop, maybe were afraid, being charitable, maybe just paralyzed by fear, I don't know what to do, but nevertheless passed by a person in need. And so as you really grasp what Tia was sharing, you know, if the Lord is speaking to you, there's just so much need for friends and so much need for people who will just smile and who will show love. And so if that resonates with your soul at all, again, on your next steps sheet there this morning, you could just check that box about recovery and we can get you in contact with Tia and we can find ways to help you love and support on those who are in need because of addiction. Celebrate Recovery is not the only care ministry that we offer on Tuesday nights. We have a number of different care ministries that are there and present for you or for those who might you know in need. Divorce care for kids focuses on providing hope and healing to those dealing with divorce. Financial Peace aims to help participants manage their money, to budget, to get out of debt, to establish healthy financial living. Grief Share focuses on providing support and hope in the pain, the loss, and the myriad of emotions that come along with grieving. And so in the lobby today at the North End, you'll find more information about those ministries. Not just if you're interested in participating, but if you feel like that you can be of service in those ministries. Paul told the Corinthians that God comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction themselves through the comfort that we have received from God, right? Paul's point is that every single one of us in this room have been through trying times, and the Lord has brought us through. And so we now have the opportunity, but also the responsibility, to turn around and to love and to serve others with that same comfort that we once received from the Lord Himself. And so, if you feel like I could either benefit from this, or I know someone who would benefit from this, or, you know what, I feel like that there might be a place that I can love and serve others because I've been through that myself. Please fill out your next step sheet or stop by at the north end of the lobby after service. Fourth, as FBC, we seek to pursue ethnic and socioeconomic justice as a church. And that begins with our corporate study of God's Word. Because whenever we come to the Scriptures, friends, we are to be formed by it. We are to be conformed to the mind of Christ, which means having our opinions on things, our emotions, our politics even, shaped and conformed by the Bible. And so we need to develop a biblical worldview of ethnicity, of race, of socioeconomics. And so on these issues, we choose at FBC not to shy away from them, even though it might be considered controversial or political. No, we choose to counter the culture of our day with the culture of God's Word. But friends, we have to do a lot more than just preach about it. We have to be a family that invites and incorporates different ethnicities, different socioeconomic classes. And we want to do this not just because we should, or because that's the current thing to do, or that's the PC thing to do. We seek to be multi-ethnic because that's God's heart. That's His design. That's how this age ends and the next one begins. Moreover, we believe that our family of faith will be strengthened, that our mission will be blessed when we incorporate and when we listen to brothers and sisters of different ethnicities, of different contexts. This is my personal practice, and I've seen just how the Lord has grown me through surrounding myself with people who are different than me. And that's an attitude that should permeate our entire body. And so we have to be intentional at pursuing ethnic and economic diversity at FBC, as well as in our wider community, right? One particular way that we've been talking about this recently is creating pathways for minority students for disadvantaged students, for students considered high risk in our community, creating pathways for them to better themselves, to better their circumstances. In other words, you have to be living under a rock to deny the fact that it is easier for someone who comes from a family of economic stability, it is easier for that person to succeed in life than it is for someone who comes from a less stable background. And the same thing is true in our country when it comes to ethnicity. Not saying that because you're white, your life has been easy, but it's clear that coming from a minority background, minority neighborhood, there are additional obstacles that a white middle-class guy hasn't had to face in his life. The question we have to deal with as a church is, what do we do about it? What does it look like in Warrensburg? Because right now, we may not be able to do much to help those on the south side of Chicago, but we can do something about the mission field God has given us here. And so what does that look like? Well, that's why I'm excited to announce a new initiative here at FBC, where we want to create a mentoring network to connect those of you who are maybe business owners, those of you who are managers, those of you who have just been successful professionals, maybe some of you who have done that in the past and now you're retired, maybe you're in the Air Force, maybe you're not. We want to connect you with young people in our schools, young people at the university. And so what we're looking for this morning is for volunteers, men and women who would be interested in exploring what mentorship might look like, folks who would be willing to give their time to get to know young people in our community and invest in them. And so if you're interested in that, I encourage you to sign up on your next step sheet or sign up in the lobby. Don't worry, by putting your name down, it's not like you're committing the rest of your life to this, okay? This is just you saying, hey, I'd be interested in exploring what that might look like. I feel like I might have something to offer a student who maybe doesn't come from a traditional two-parent household, or a student who maybe hasn't had the opportunities to get to know people in our community. I'd be open to hear more about that. I hope that you'll check that box. You'll drop it in the offering plate or drop it off at the Welcome Center before you leave. Finally, as we're talking about mercy and justice ministry this morning, I do want to call your attention to resources that are available to you for your own emotional and spiritual health and growth. FBC is pleased to house the Diakonos Counseling Practice. And Diakonos is a firm that believes in a healthy approach to healing life's problems through integrating sound Christian principles for the mind, body, and spirit. At Diakonos, you will get the highest quality care, but you'll get it from counselors who are also firmly grounded in God's Word. I can tell you personally, on behalf of the Edwards household, just how much the counselors at Diakonos have blessed us, and I know that they could bless you as well. And so more information about them can be found out in the lobby this morning. As I said at the beginning, our country and our church is talking a lot about unity right now. And what does it mean to be unified? And we believe it means being unified around our vision and our mission, the why we're even here, the why we exist. And so just by way of reminder, the vision of FBC is to worship God by following Him in His mission to fill the earth with His glory. And our mission is to partner as a family in the Holy Spirit to make disciples of Jesus Christ who make disciples. And so I hope that you would see then this morning how mercy and justice are intrinsic to seeing God glorified in creation. Mercy and justice are intrinsic to making disciples who make disciples. And this past year, we have watched just extreme division in our country, even in our church, over ethnic and social justice issues. Very basic biblical conversations that we have become polarized to the point that where you stand on an issue makes you a conservative or a liberal. I believe the problem, and it's not just been the problem of this past year, but this past year has exposed it, is that we read Scripture and we interpret culture through the lens of news and social media. Right? As American evangelicals, we tend to have our politics, what we already believe, and then that shapes how we read the Bible. And I pray that you would see just how wicked and foolish that is. Because Scripture shows us that God's heart is for all of the human being. God's heart is for all of society. And what we see in the Scriptures is how God wants to magnify Himself through the mercy and justice of His people. In other words, we have a calling to reflect Him. And we reflect Him in our character. We reflect Him in our works. And so this morning you have seen there are so many opportunities for you to serve and to bless this community. And I pray two things. I pray first that your heart would be softened and shaped by the Spirit. And then that you would discern the places where the Lord would use you to advance His kingdom. Because friends, let's not forget the greatest act of mercy this world has ever seen. The incarnation, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that at the very beginning, our showing of mercy, our pursuit of justice, it is rooted in the mercy that we have received. It is rooted in the justice of the character of God. Because at one time we were helpless. At what time we were lost. We were enemies of God. We committed injustices against Him and against His world. And how did He respond to that? By making a way for our forgiveness. And so in light of the amazing grace that we have received, how can we not take the same heart and the same posture toward others? And so may we see this morning that at the heart of racism, at the heart of economic exploitation, at the heart of addiction, at the heart of all of these things is simply the pandemic of sin. Friend, only Christ is the remedy. And so He is the one we must seek. He is the one we must proclaim. And He is who we must reflect and embody as a church. Does your heart reflect His? And what are you going to do about it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so humbled when we consider the cross. When we consider how you have looked upon our rebellion, how you have looked upon our wickedness. In a situation that seemed utterly hopeless, that as a just and holy God, you could have left us right where we were, and you would have been justified in doing so. Father, the things that we often say that, well, that person just made bad choices in their life and now they're reaping the consequences of that. God, how you could have said that to us. How you very justly could have said, yeah, you've made a lot of bad choices and now reap the consequences of that. But instead, you gave us your Son. That in His death, we might be freed to life. That as His body was broken, as His blood was shed, new life was made available to us. And so, Father, as we think about these issues and as we think about just our missionary presence in Warrensburg and in this world, may it be rooted and grounded simply in who you are and what you have done. May Christ be magnified in us. That as we see Him and as we delight in Him, our lives would be naturally conformed to His. That we would care about and we would prioritize the things that our Savior cares about and that our Savior says are priorities. How broken and how lost and how hurt our country is right now. Everyone can see the problems, Father, but no one knows the remedy. No one knows the solution. We think that just mere politics and mere policy will make a difference. Father, that you have given us, the church, the answer to these things. And so may we stop being silent. May we realize that every issue is a gospel issue because you love this world and you proved your love for it by giving us your Son. Conform our hearts and our minds toward yours. And then I pray this morning, Father, that you would make it clear what that next step we each need to take is. And so, Father, just lead us in this time. Stir in our hearts. For some of us, it may be that we need to make an act of repentance and confession. For other of us, it may be that we need to let go of some of the things that we've prioritized in our lives in order to prioritize the things of you. For others of us, it may just be guilt and shame, Father, that we are just still struggling with acknowledging and working through the mercy and grace that you have shown us. For others of us, we've just become complacent and hard-hearted. We cannot forgive because, Father, we've not fully understand the forgiveness that we've received. God, we are all over this place this morning. And so for your glory, Father, I pray that you would stir in each and every heart and mind. Lead us in this time. For it's in Jesus' saving name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. This podcast is intended to be a supplement to your local church and cannot replace your regular involvement there. If you are not currently part of a local church, we would be happy to assist you in finding one. Simply contact us through our website, www.fbcwberg.org.